All right, guys, we're back with another episode of Beyond the Gym Floor. We've got a special guest in the house, our resident nutrition coach, Annie. This is a really, really good conversation because Annie's been, you know, running her nutrition business now into her third year. So we spoke about, you know, what the first 12 months of her business looked like, you know, some of the good things that happened, some of the struggles, you know, a lot of commonalities, I reckon, to a lot of listeners, just on like that navigating business in that first 12 months. And then what really kind of turned things around and drove things in the right direction for her to grow a business and scale it and actually make, you know, a proper career out of this and look to, you know, take on new challenges, which we are doing in this third year. So have a listen. Let us know what you think. As always, you know, enjoy the podcast. This is now your opportunity, again, to hit that subscribe button. So go and do it. And then, like always, feel free to share the message with other people like you. And that is all. Enjoy the episode, guys, and we'll see you next time. How are you feeling so far?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm so tired of my own voice.
Oh, really? Oh, well, just strap yourself in because we're just getting started.
Can I just ask you guys questions?
No, it doesn't work that way when you're the guest.
Yeah. Can this just be like a live mentor session?
You are sitting in Ben's chair, though, so you could assume like all of the responsibilities of the business if you would like.
That could be fun if you would like the business to be run into the ground for the next 6 months.
I'll tell you what, there's no guarantees that it's not with me at the helm, you know? Yeah, if you're listening, Ben, we're doing good, I think.
We're doing so great. Yeah, you're doing great, sweetie.
I just keep saying, make a moves. Just, you know, it makes it sound like... Yeah, even if
this
you
man
just,
has
just,
a business,
just wake
sure.
up, you just wake up, make a
move.
Make a moves.
Wake
always.
Up, buy $200 shoes.
Live in the dream. That actually is pretty good. That was me this morning. Made. Look, you know, some people have to do it, you know. Support. I'm not even supporting local.
I was going to say, what local business is doing, Jordan?
I'm putting some kid through college with my dunk collection. Whatever.
Yeah, let's hope so.
All right. Anyway, enough questions about me and you guys ragging on me at the start of the last podcast. It's time to get stuck into it with you. So, guys, welcome back. We have Annie on the podcast. This will be the first time, but you guys will see us do the podcast for the week on her own. We did one on Wednesday, so you guys will have to tune in for that. Going into the weeds on her skill set and how she helps clients. But Annie's been, well, how long have you been running your business for?
2 years.
Yeah, so Annie's been in business for 2 years running a nutrition business. And what we thought would be great, because again, sometimes, you know, I've been in this game for 15 years. Sometimes people don't like to listen to someone who's so far ahead, even though I've got so much information and experience to give out. They're just like, this guy, shut the fuck up.
This guy's making moves.
Yeah. It's like, this guy's made too many moves. He doesn't understand me.
I can't make that many moves.
So I thought maybe it might be a great podcast and a great opportunity to just talk about, you know, how we got started, what, you know, where that kind of came from. I know we kind of went into a little bit on Wednesday, but that's more about why you were training people. I think like it'd be nice to see what motivations really were to start your business, and when you actually sat there and were like, fuck, this is actually a real thing. Like, I'm going to make a lifestyle from this. And
I don't know if that's happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, we're waiting for it.
Well, we'll see. And then what the journey's been like to date, lessons along the way and stuff. Like, I'll be asking questions like that just to kind of get your brain ticking and see what it's really like to get us to start a business. And what are some of the things that you still
it's
think
terrifying.
About now? Mm-hmm. Is it fun? Come on.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, give them something or they're all turning off.
Yeah, no, it's the best. Once you start it, you're like, oh my God, I could never, ever not do this.
I could never listen to someone tell me what to do.
I am so unemployable.
What was your first job?
Oh, my first job was working
Very
at
first.
A chocolate lounge.
Did Ooh. You like it?
Like a cafe. I didn't not like it. I was 14.
Yeah.
And it was so busy. And it would be open till like 10, 11 at night and just, you know, people getting like ridiculous fucking hot chocolates that are sitting on top of a fire and like waffles
oh,
and
so
crazy
it's like a bougie
shit, right?
chocolate.
Yeah, bougie.
Theobroma?
Theobroma at
gotcha.
Knox City.
Go on, as you were.
And I used to sit up at like 2 a.m. and be like making coffees in my bed, like in my sleep, literally. Like
wow.
I was not equipped to deal with the stress of that job at 14.
Yeah, that's
and it was
messed up.
Hectic. Like we would just have lines of people out the door. There'd be dockets just like rolling on top of each other. And like it was so hectic.
Did you like it or did you hate it?
I had fun because I worked with like two of my close friends And it was just like a bunch of like young girls working there. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, you
just... And people abuse you when your coffee's late and you're like, yeah. I am simply in year 9.
I'm fucking 14,
you're
bro.
A child.
Yeah.
I had to like supervise as well. At that cafe. Like, it was outrageous.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
My mum had to sign for me to get this job and I'm supervising.
Yeah, so mum's coming to pick everyone. Me up here. How did you expect this coffee to be good? Shut the fuck up.
It was
bit of a stressful job to start off life with.
Yeah, and then that really set the tone.
Yeah. Now, when I'm not stressed, jobs. I feel weird.
Yeah.
What about you? Have you had a job that you, like, just, like, fucking hated?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to work in, I was, like, an in-house accountant for a small goods company.
Okay, that sounds
crazy.
Kind of sounds bad. Is it, why didn't you like it?
Brother, can you imagine me sitting in a chair for 8 hours looking at a computer, looking at numbers?
I don't know. I thought it was like a different type of Jess, you know?
So my first job was at the Cheesecake Shop.
Oh, yeah.
My family, like, has, a franchise.
Yeah.
Cheesecake Shop, worked at McDonald's overnight while I studied.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got, when I left uni, I got into this, like, that job before I studied for PT, and I was there for, like, 6 months.
Did you do accounting at uni?
No, I did crim justice, but that's a whole other life.
They're just like, we'll take you. Can you count?
No, like, so I just started taking phone calls. I just started taking orders.
What do you mean? You just walked in one day and was like, I got this. Like,
I work here. That's
a fucking
just
work.
Answers the phone.
It's like, who's this girl? I got this, man. Don't worry. Our phone's ringing.
I applied.
You're on the mic with Jess. What's up?
That's a huge Jess move. Look at me. I am the captain now.
Yeah.
No, I applied for a job, got a job, just started taking orders in an office, like just, you know, on that $22 an hour grind. And I don't know, I was like good at it. And they were like, hey, you're kind of smart. Do you want to do our books? And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
What a gas up. They go, so that how do we make this
money?
Horrible job sound good? Say she's really good first.
It's a promotion.
Hey, and you're really smart.
Yeah.
And then, I'll do whatever you want after that. Words of affirmation.
King activated.
Words of affirmation into task. Jess will do.
Anyway, correct. Did it. Hated it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go do that PT thing now. So I worked part-time at Boost. Got my PT done, and then within
That's
6 weeks, I quit my old job.
Yeah,
that's
like
fitting.
Hell yeah. Boost and PT, you know? It's it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, why not?
It was
kind of works.
That was the most fun, like, that was like the least stressful job I've ever had in my
Boost.
Life.
Boost.
Oh my God.
You're making someone a smoothie. What they could possibly
And
go
I
wrong?
Was like, 19, 20.
Mm.
And I was like, living my best life. Like, I've worked at McDonald's and that's way more stressful than this. Let me just put some fucking fruit in a smoothie and dance along to some music and this is fine.
That's good to know that it's actually not stressful, because when I order a Boost, they seem stressed. I'm like, couldn't possibly.
Yeah, there's like a million of them working there.
Yeah,
like, you know,
exactly.
In that little area. So surely you guys.
One puts a banana in, the next one puts the oats in.
Surely you guys can work this out. Like, I'll go. Yeah. I make smoothies every day. I'll make myself one.
Anyway, that's my history.
I feel like everyone needs like a real shitty or stressful
job. Oh my God, you have to. Otherwise
before
you
go into running your own business.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you just like, I know for me, I'm just like, I never want to go back to like.
Yeah.
Running tables on like a casino floor, like, you know, getting
hospo.
People drinks and
you
shit.
You have to do hospo.
Do
you,
hospo
you
for character
the right
building.
You don't have to go to a restaurant unless you've worked in hospo.
Yeah.
Take some notes here, guys. So to make it in small business, one, work in hospitality.
And it will never be worse than that again.
Never. Yeah. Never,
yeah,
ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it was like $9 an hour my first role. So
yeah.
I'm like, this is sick.
$8.88.
Wow.
$8.88 was my first pay rate. And I was like, 888. Angel numbers.
No. I'm staying here forever.
That's criminal.
And then it was like $11 an hour for my supervisor role.
Oh, look at you go. Climbing that ladder.
Baller.
Climbing the corporate ladder.
Yeah. Got $120 a week. It's like 30 hours away.
That's literally like what the pay slip was.
I'm rich.
Oh, insane.
I love that. So for the listeners at home, a little bit of a repetition on, because we did go into it on the last podcast, but like where did your business, like how did your business come together? Like what were the motivators for it? When did you sit back and go, all right, I need to get qualified. I want to start doing this to help people. You know, I want it. Where did the actual, you know, when did you start to create the business name, all of that stuff? When did it become legit?
It's changed so many times.
Well, what's the story around it the first time? Like, what were the motivators to get you in the industry helping people?
I have always liked people, despite working in hospitality.
It was a special one.
Yeah. My job before that was disability care, and I was doing that for, like 5 years.
Amazing.
I also was in a supervisor role at that job, which is strange. I'm like, why do people keep giving me responsibility over other humans' lives? But worked there, lockdown happened. That was the best time ever because I was just getting paid by the government to do nothing. I loved it. But then I was like, oh, I have this time. I'm going to study now.
Everyone that's a personal trainer just switched off. Then they're like, fuck this girl.
Best time ever.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I didn't say that.
Yeah. I heard it on the other podcast. And I was like, I just died a little bit inside. Yeah. I was like, ah, keep going.
I'm aware that it was the worst time in history for the vast majority of
it can
the
be
population.
It can be a good time for you.
It can be your truth, Addy. It's your truth.
We spoke about this on the other podcast. It's like we're not making it about us. Like it can be good for you.
I just 180'd. 360.
No, 180'd. 180'd.
I was going to say good on you, king. Does that work?
Yeah, she is a king.
Yeah, can I say
look
that?
At that man spread.
Yeah, I love that. All right. So COVID happened. Good opportunity to start studying. We're getting bankrolled off Dan Andrews.
It was a good time.
Good opportunity to get after it.
Yeah, and then so I studied and then just started building up the business. First few clients, I was at a MMA gym training there. So my first few clients were just fellow MMAers. And then I think that I didn't have any blueprint whatsoever for what a business should look like other than my mum started her own business when I was in like primary school and she worked very hard. Like she worked at like stupid hours, like, you know what I mean? Like just like I would have ideas and then have to like make it until it was finished kind of thing. So I feel like that was like my blueprint for like, this is how you run a business. Okay. So it probably started kind of like that. So it was just like the grind, but such an unfruitful grind because there was just no direction whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was just like putting out fires, like trying to figure shit out like as I went along. I'm someone who...
So what were you doing? What were you doing then? Like what were some examples?
I don't know, just making a bunch of like different documents.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Changing my logo a lot. Like
making
really
spreadsheets
shitty content
and stuff. Yeah.
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 Just that kind of stuff. Just being like,
yeah,
okay,
it's just busy work.
I'm doing things.
Yeah, it's busy work.
It didn't really get very far. There was no structure. Yeah. I mean, it was all right. Like I helped some people get some outcomes
absolutely
and stuff. But
yeah,
it took a long time to feel like a business.
Yeah.
And like alongside that, I was still working and still am 2 days a week doing disability care.
Doing
but
God's
at that
work,
time,
Annie. Much respect for you.
At that time, it was 4 days a week and like double shifts and stuff. So I had a few hours here and there.
Yeah.
And it felt very stressful at the start.
Yeah. What was the feel? So why did it feel so stressful? Like what?
Because I didn't know what to do. I just didn't
know. Yeah, so you're just navigating a space that you just didn't know if you were doing the right thing or not.
It was so open. I had no idea. Like a lot of ideas would come and I would chase them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have like a structure for what it should look like or how I could measure if that was a successful endeavor or not.
Yeah.
So that was... Not that I find it as wasted time. I think I said this in the last podcast. Like all of the shit that I tried, all the trial and error, all the hours spent like building little resources and stuff doesn't feel like wasted time because it feels like it was all a learning process and it kind of got me to here where it does feel like a business sort of. I'm still not very good at tax, but like apart from that, feels like a business that I don't have to like stay up at night worrying about kind of thing.
Yeah.
What was the question?
How did we get here?
Okay.
So you said on the other podcast, like you were interested in fighting and curious about the weight cuts.
Yeah.
And that curiosity moved you into working with, you know, a bunch of MMA fighters to help them with their nutrition and you know, their weight cuts specifically for the fight because that's where your major curiosity was. What motivated you to take it further and start working with the general population?
Probably just your eyes become opened to the other struggles that people are having. And even if that started with fighters, it was like a lot of the struggles that they were having with food, I could see a lot of other people were too. I think, opening yourself up to that realm, even just on like Instagram and stuff, you start to see what people need. You start to see what people are like anxious about and don't know how to do and what they need help with. So I think that probably made me a little bit more curious about just general population and like weight loss stuff. And then I was quite heavy on like, I think marketing to people for weight loss. And I talked a lot about weight loss and stuff. Now I feel like it's evolved a little bit more to be like health, performance, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
you've kind of come full circle to the point where you're helping these future Muay Thai fighters have a good relationship with food so they don't have to be in a position where they're doing drastic weight cuts constantly.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like addressing that before it becomes even a thing.
Yeah. And actually, one of the really cool things is I actually work with a lot of younger girls who are just getting into fighting. And I'm like, yes, perfect. Like, catch it before it gets really bad.
Yeah. So like, this before person the influence will
never
kicks
do
in
a bad
like,
weight cut.
Yeah.
Bad, yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's really cool to work with them.
Yeah. Okay. So if you could summarize your first 12 months in, like running a business and in the industry, like, how would you describe it?
Messy.
From what in what degree?
My time was spent on random activities that didn't make much sense, and it was just like, even client to client, the process looked totally different.
Yeah.
So like the consult through to giving them some form of plan was like entirely different for every person
time.
Which was like, I'm all for like individualizing the process for what the person needs, but not to the point where it's just like taking away from my time as like, you know, running a business and actually making it
inefficient.
It's super inefficient. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the first year was pretty much just figuring it out as I went along to some degree.
Yeah. And then you're in your second year now?
Mm-hmm. Probably in the third year now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're two years into the third year. How would you describe your second year in business?
I think that's when I realized I really wanted it and believed that it could be a proper business that could be my full-time job.
Why was that?
I actually don't know. I haven't thought about that. I was just kind of like, I was so set on holding on to like my more stable job for income, like not wanting to let go of the disability shifts because it was like that was my stable income.
Yep.
And I was always like, whatever, I can do this thing on the side because any money I made was on top, you know, bills were paid, so it was fine.
Yep.
It wasn't even like there was a moment where I was like, okay, I'm ready for this to be a business. I just gradually got more clients, reduced my hours. It's been really gradual. A lot of people have these like really fun stories of like, I just quit my job and I went
for it.
I'm like, no.
You'd be surprised. Most people are probably doing the same thing as yourself.
Slow grind.
People don't want to talk about that. And I know so many because we work with them, and I particularly work with like first year PTs.
Mm.
So many people have secondary jobs that they don't fully believe, just like you didn't in the first year. Like, they don't fully believe that they can have a job that's enjoyable and a passion and a hobby but turn it into a stable full-time income because they feel like it's constantly putting out fires.
Yeah.
Like, not understanding that things can be uniform and structured and predictable.
Yeah.
So I think don't shy away from those feelings because you are so relatable to so many people that are listening to this. Like, it's so common.
Yeah. So it's like, you need that income and stuff. And I think I also got to a point where I was like, I don't know, I think in that first year, you expect things are going to move really quickly. You see other business owners and you're like, I'm going to own a business.
What were your expectations of that? Because I really want to know.
Expectations were
first
so
year.
Different.
Yeah. So what do you mean? It's like,
I just thought people came to you. I just thought clients came to you.
Yeah. So you had a specialty and
they will come and receive my information.
Yeah. And your
they will pay me for what I know.
They will pay me
just because I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just
what was the reality of that?
The reality is that you have to do so much work to speak to the right people for them to, and then to build their trust and then to connect with them. And it's probably like someone will probably follow you for like 6 months.
Yeah.
You guys probably have actual data on that, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they're probably following you and like liking your shit for like 6 months before they finally are like, oh, I might actually get in touch and have like a phone call or something. So it's like, there's a lot more like nurturing of your, I suppose, audience. I don't want to say audience because I have like 5 followers, but you know what I mean? It's like there are still people.
They're an audience.
Yeah, they're an audience. Come on. So it's like they all matter still. So it's like there's all those people that like they want your information and they maybe trust you, but you got to build that and build that and build that. So it's like I didn't realize how active you had to be in seeking.
Acquiring business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. Which is one, like, because you don't get taught any of that stuff. Like no one gets taught the real life of business operations and acquisition of clients and how to manage them and and all those things. Like you got your nutrition qualification, there was never a – so this is how we integrate into the real world. And if you want to run a business, this is what you do.
Yeah,
this is how you need to do it and organize all your stuff. Yeah. So you kind of go in going, I've got this qualification. Where are the
and
people
then you
at?
Just had to, exactly. And you even – it's like you had to also figure out like, all right, I have this qualification. I have this knowledge. But I also now have to figure out how I'm going to structure my check-ins, my meal plans. Or it's like none of that is really like taught to you. It's like here's the science. But it's like, oh, fuck. Like how do I structure this? Yeah. Like what does that look like? What's the client receiving? Like, and I went through so many different processes and so many different structures of that until I've landed now where it feels pretty good.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different ones.
Quick break in the episode, guys. I just want to ask you one question. Are you running a business or are you working a job? Running a business means thinking like a business owner, having systems that do all the grindy work for you, a service that's guaranteed to get your clients results, social media and referrals that are driving business to you, and getting leads that you always close. If instead you feel like you're lost, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of your clients, you're just working another job. If that's you, you need to check out Standout PT. It's our signature education program, a 26-week online course designed to take you from working a job to actually running a business. The average coach that goes through Standout PT and completes all the modules gets a 300% increase in revenue inside their business. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, and over 30 units for you to go through, all with text and video to make sure you're totally covered for everything you need in your business. Just head to stcfit.com, navigate to the Standout PT page, and book yourself a free, no obligation discovery call and see if Standout PT is right for you. Back to the show.
Did you ever like work with anyone at the start to kind of get a bit of an idea of like how that worked, or you just kind of went?
I didn't, and I really regret it.
I think this is what I'm supposed to do. Like you kind of just like, had an urge to just do things a certain way.
Yeah, I just and I think there was like a stubbornness from me in that. Like,
I can do it.
If I had, if I had reached out to someone, and it's so annoying now.
I laugh because I'm like, that's fucking.
I wanted to figure it out. Like, I want to,
I mean? I get it. I do.
Yeah.
I get that so much, and then, but in hindsight, I'm like, fuck, I wasted so much time.
The one thing I would do differently would just be even just have my own coach.
Agreed.
Sooner, even if it wasn't specifically for nutrition, but even I didn't even have like an online PT or
anything I know
like
you that. Mean.
So the structure of coaching was like.
It's so valuable, right? Just just like learn how to communicate, learn how the interactions work. Obviously,
what to expect from each other and
work towards something, you know, how that relationship is, you know, kind of built and fostered. And then, like you kind of get a little bit of nuggets here and there of like, oh, I could probably use this and maybe I could adopt this. And I agree. I definitely was like you, just like, I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah. Every is an annoying trait.
I feel like it is absolutely because it's like there's probably 4 to 6 years of like
wasted time
and it's like just accelerate it, learn everything, adopt it, and then just move forward.
It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, it does matter who you reach out to. You obviously want someone that you think is going to be the most credible, but every single experience with a coach, a mentor, an educator, whatever it is you're going to leave with something.
Yeah.
Whether it's I love this style or I'm not, 100%. I think that even people that are like nervous to take that plunge where it's like obviously, scared to commit to that, even just getting a coach.
Yeah.
And you do it and you're like, you know what? I actually hate the delivery of this.
Yeah.
I want to do this.
Like this.
Yeah, correct. Like there's, if you look at it with that lens on, like there's no losing.
Yeah, for sure. There's just so much to learn from, like in positive ways and like what not to do.
Yeah, 100%.
So moving into, we got qualified. We thought it was going to be, sunshine and rainbows. All these people were going to come to us. The harsh reality of it was that like we had to hustle and put some work in.
Yeah.
Weren't too happy with how things were working out in terms of the consistency of the service. We moved into our second year. What happened?
I think that's probably when I did start thinking about getting like some sort of business mentor, but I really didn't like the ones that I was seeing on my feed. Like, no, nothing against them.
Sitting on their cars and wearing like expensive
shit. It was kind of like girls about my age or even younger. Yeah. And it was very like
wearing nothing.
Energetics. Yeah. You know, like that kind of shit. And I was like, I was kind of like, a part of me was like, that could be helpful. You still have to have confidence in yourself to put out a certain energy to attract the clients and all that kind of, you know, stuff. But I just was like, so not sold on it. I was like, I want to run a fucking business. Like, I don't want to just like align my chakras. Like, and then
I have a very different algorithm.
That's what it was like. That
mine's
for a
like,
while.
Have you seen the car that I've hired to sit on so I look rich?
Oh,
no, you're
those business mentors.
Yeah,
I've got the Russians.
If someone says energy or flow to me, I'm like, you're done to me.
Sorry. Like, right, there's some, but that's when I can't even remember how like STC popped up. I think it was through Forward Moves. What was their prior name? I was following them.
MA.
I can't remember.
MA,
there you go.
I was following them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is great business advice off their page. And then they posted something about you guys. And then like all of the messaging on that just like clicked so much. And I remember sending it to my sister. Oh, yeah. There was a failed business in between all this as well with my sister.
Okay.
Which was fun. We can talk about that.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go. So what happened?
So we wanted to start like a collaborative service. She's a remedial massage therapist.
Yep.
And also like she's qualified in like coaching Olympic lifting, but not just like a PT.
Yep.
But just that lifting. And so she does like mobility and stuff like that. Her and I wanted to work together specifically with female athletes. And like we got so excited about this idea. We went hard. We got some ambassadors. We did like a workshop. We did all this stuff. And then we just didn't put into it. And I don't have another answer. Our relationship didn't suffer in any way.
Yeah.
We didn't lose money, nothing like that, because you can just start a business for free on the internet now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, yeah, we just didn't put into it what it needed. And I needed to continue putting into my separate nutrition stuff at the same time.
Probably a case of timing maybe. Like, you know, you got a startup happening and then you're like, oh, let's do another startup.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of hard with the messaging, the energy.
And I think it was down to marketing. Like we didn't go hard enough on the marketing, so we didn't get enough clients in.
So what do you mean by that? Like exactly,
we didn't post anything.
Yeah, so you never
we did for a few weeks, and then we just completely let
consistency
it slip.
Just dropped.
It just totally dropped, and so we just let it fizzle. Like I still actually have some of those clients on board with me.
Yeah.
But Grace was sort of happy to just continue the job that she was doing, and you know, her own coaching and stuff. So we were just like, we didn't quite like hit the mark where we thought we would.
I think that's another like really relatable thing with people, like not understanding, one, obviously having any of that structure to begin with. So it's not like you had a blueprint or something like that to be like, cool, this has been done before. I need to start doing XYZ steps. So like walking into something blind and not understanding how much it actually takes to put into a thriving business when it's starting up as well. Yeah. But I feel like table that idea because like.
I still like it.
I really like that idea.
Say, Well, collaborative.
We'll talk after.
We'll pursue that.
We'll talk after.
We'll pursue that at some point.
It's still, another addition to the team.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Well, it's not a failed business in the sense it's just like
it's
you
a
had
paused
an
business.
You had an ambition at the wrong time, I think is probably a better way to describe it, because it's like the only way it fails is if you got nothing out of it.
And it was actually probably quite successful if I think about it.
Like, you've still got clients. Like people start a business and get nothing. And like
those
people
got a lot out of it. So it's
absolutely. Yeah, I hear people all the time. They
continue
talk, like, oh, this is my business. And I'm like, how many clients you got? And they got none. I'm like, okay, it's a hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you got clients out of it. So,
yeah, we got clients.
You just didn't pursue it anymore.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That was some impact.
So we're just going to gas you up. So
literally.
More.
I love that. So put that on pause because we were worried. We were focused on our own nutrition business. We saw some stuff online that kind of, you know, aligned in terms of like what kind of help you needed.
Yep.
And then where did we go from there?
So then I guess I had a call with Ben.
Yep.
And he just like, it's so funny now, like doing the course, learning how to connect with your prospective
Prospect,
client. And I'm like, oh, that's exactly what Ben did. And I was just like, whatever this man is about to sell me, I'm going to buy it. Like, there was no way I was leaving that conversation without doing that course, because I was like, this ticks every single box that I needed, like everywhere that I needed help. This course is going to do that. And I was like,
so what, at the time, because, you know, like, we can gas ourselves up and say it's amazing. And that's not really what the podcast is for.
She actually wasn't paid to say any of that.
I swear
this
to
is
God.
Not where it's supposed to go. It's just like, you know, sorry, accidental G up.
Now you're G.
I'll take it back. Course.
What were the things that you can remember that you really needed help with at the time that really stood out?
Business structure.
Yeah.
Marketing. Just talking to your audience.
Yeah.
Offers.
Yeah.
Having, like, talking about having different tiers of service. And I think that was the actual main thing that Ben and I spoke about. We can make this less STC related, but the business coach, you know, talked about having different tiers of service and stuff. And it was like, oh, okay. Because I think at that time I was busy and not making enough money. I was like undercharging.
Yeah. And
I had a fair few clients, but I was giving them like the most premium service and not charging enough. So I wasn't really able to take on many more clients.
Yeah.
So I was like, I've reached a cap at how much money I can make on this business. So I need to change something.
Yep.
And that's when the idea of like a tiered service sort of.
Yeah. We were so surprised when you came in and we're like, how many clients you got? And you were just like, I don't know, like 20. And we're like, what?
Why
like,
is that?
How
like,
are you? How are you not? Yeah, making what you're supposed to.
Oh, but, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, because that's it's what like, I mean. Yeah, we're like, wait, 20. Like most people come in and they're just like, oh, I need like, I've got 10 and I need to double it. You know.
Yeah.
But it's like the problem.
I was like, no, I have enough. I'm just running my business really.
The problem,
poorly.
Like, and the problem lays somewhere else. So it's not always. It's not always so. Like a lot of people think sometimes a business fails or it's struggling as a symptom of like not getting enough people in.
Yeah.
And then in some instances, you can get the people in, but then the symptom of the business struggling lays in the delivery. So it's like, are those 19 people getting the same kind of consistencies across the board in terms of the service?
Yeah.
Are those 19 people able to, you know, kind of get what is, you know, kind of agreed upon in this service? Like, do they even know what it is?
Yeah.
You know, and then after that, it's like, are you charging exactly what you're worth at that given time?
Yeah.
You know, for that service, which at the time we knew we were way below that point.
And I was, I think one of the biggest things as well was that not so much just the structure of business, but maybe this is where the energetics coaches could come in, but it was like the confidence in your own service.
Oh, your self-worth, self-confidence, afraid of losing clients if you increase your prices.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like I had a decent amount of clients, but it was like there was so much fear around like, oh my God, but what if no more come? What if I lose these ones? There's no plan for this getting more. I was just like, I'm leaving it up to, I felt lucky in the first year of business. I was like, I'm lucky. I've just happened to have some people around me that needed it, the service. But I was like, what about when the luck runs out, then I need a process.
I love that. So what were your, over that 12 month period, you got some mentoring and, you know, there's some advice that got thrown around from Ben and I on like how to change your business. What were the biggest things that you think took your business to like that next level where you were like, this is, and as much as you joke about it, it's like you still look at your business now and it's like, this is a leaps and bounds ahead of where I started. And it's like, what got you there?
I think that the idea of building things so that your business is not just an Instagram page and then abyss.
Yeah.
It was like, if Instagram shut down, what would you still have to offer them? And now, so now it's like they're on an app. They've got resources. We've got like a structure of like coaching and stuff.
Yep.
Spreadsheets, et cetera, outside of just like a phone call and that kind of thing. So the actual business survives and it's like an entity outside of just having an
Instagram
page.
Yeah.
So it's like what, and even if I wasn't able to be there for a week and do like my check-ins for a week, like do they still have all the resources and help and that they
access
need,
to the things that they need.
That they need to just keep themselves going.
Yep.
I think that was like the biggest difference.
Yep.
Which sounds so obvious.
Well, no, because people like the culture now, not necessarily good culture, but a lot of people just slap online coach in their bio, expect the clients to come and expect that to be what their business is. So hearing that
it gives them some stuff outside of that.
You're providing value online, but that's just make your free shit better than everyone else's paid shit. You're providing value online, but what you have to offer is this great business and this great service.
There's more to it though, because you told me over the Christmas period the year before, everybody left.
Yep.
And this year that didn't happen.
Yep.
So there's more.
Yeah.
All right. So I want you to dig a little bit deeper and think like outside of like, you know, having the website, the app and, you know, a more, I guess like laid out service where people get more and it's not so reliant on you.
Yep.
What else was there?
Do you have this answer?
I do.
Something in your mind.
Well, I'm probing you because I know that. So think about it like this, right? So you get some mentoring. We pick holes in your business as it stands, right? We picked all of these holes and we're like, these all need to be filled, right? Charging more and then just like improving how your service delivered aren't the only reasons the last 12 months were so successful.
I think I got better at coaching as well.
And you also don't have the same people you did 12 months ago. Do you see where I'm going?
Messaging.
You got there. Because I'm like, I know the people that you had when you started and the people that you have now. And that is a big difference between, you know, that repeat business, loyalty, getting better results of people, fulfillment, like your excitement and desire to show up every day and make good content and give them everything you've got.
That's actually so true. And it's so clear that like that main difference is that I didn't have any sort of niche in the first little, even though, I started off working with fighters and stuff. It's like they were just around. Yeah. I just had a lot of them nearby. Yeah. So, you know, that's just who.
They were the lucky ones.
I would have a lot of clients that would drop off and that like maybe wouldn't get the best results and stuff like that, or like that were kind of flaky or wouldn't do their check-ins and stuff, because it was just – I was putting out nutrition information.
Yeah.
Just nutrition information.
It's like 4 grams protein.
Yeah.
Or 4 calories per gram or like a 30 grams protein to maximum absorption. I'm kidding. You go tune the other pod inside joke.
And then it was like you're so right. The biggest change was like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Like, I have to pick someone and then actually talk to them and then solve their problems. And like, that messaging around that was like, now over this last Christmas, everyone stayed on.
So did you get to a point where you could look across your client base and be like, this is it? Like, have you ever sat there and been like, you know, the messaging is working because you've looked at your client's base, or have you just kind of just rolled with it and it's like, whoever's come has come?
I think that for me, it confused me a little bit for a while, because I thought that the messaging had to be about like almost like a demographic of people, like a 25-year-old woman who goes to the gym 3 times a week and works in corporate. Like, so I was like, do I need to talk to that person? But it was more about like those shared values and stuff. So because my clients really vary in what they do and their jobs and their sports and their goals and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, I can't really see any like patterns here.
Yeah.
But then it was more about like personality traits and like, you know, like those values of like working hard and being able to see like a longer term goal. I've got all these clients that have stayed on for a lot longer now because, like they're able to see like they're able to work hard for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
To see the result, rather than people who were kind of like, you're a nutritionist, make me skinny in 6 weeks kind of thing. It's like I was talking to the wrong people.
Yeah.
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 So
no such thing as shit clients, just shit messaging.
It's kind of like you get them because of the messaging, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, okay. So change the messaging. You said you struggled with that at the start because you were trying to speak to someone you didn't know how to speak to, or you didn't know they were the right person to speak to.
I wasn't speaking to anyone in particular.
So you still identified someone, but you didn't know how to speak to them?
Oh, do you mean at the start I kind of made the change?
Yeah, so we're talking like post first 12 months, and we were trying to give you a framework to, you know, get in on the messaging and get clear. You said you still struggled with that at the start because of identifying this person, but you didn't know if that was the right person.
Yeah, I think I was trying to then just speak to athletes, which, because I was like, oh, that's a type of person.
Yeah.
But again, athletes vary so much. And also, I was still kind of just using messaging like, okay, you're an athlete, so you need this many grams of carbs. You know, it was still quite just nutrition science fact focused.
Yeah.
And then I think it actually took me a lot of goes of like unraveling the ideal client avatar thing.
Absolutely.
And then putting it back together and stuff, until I actually still don't feel, I wouldn't say I'm crystal clear. these days. I'd say I'm a lot clearer, and I understand now that it can be a different person with different...
Yeah, depending on the messaging at the time, who you want to bring in.
Yeah. So, like, at the moment, it's like all the messaging is more towards girls with the food freedom thing.
Mm.
But then now I understand that it's like, okay, well, I'm probably not going to get a whole lot of, like, male fighters contact me at the moment because I'm not really talking to them.
Yeah.
But then after this, then it's like my messaging will change to that group of people. So it can still be different types of people at different times. But, it'll be totally different wording and...
But the underlying values of the people that you want to work with won't change. It just depends on the campaign that you are running at the time and what state of your business you're in then.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what were the biggest things you saw happen once you started to dial in all these things? You got the systems there. You had that support. You were dialed in on this person and the messaging. What were the biggest benefits from that?
I think that... I remember there was a certain week where I had three consults with these three girls who I was just like we just clicked so well and I had so much fun in the consult calls. Like we just talked shit and like just really, really connected like instantly. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. It's the messaging. It's working. And it just felt really good. And it was like, it's been awesome working with them. And then like since then, it wasn't just those three, but it was like a lot more people like that where it's like there's this trust. There's this like level of intimacy, I suppose, with like the coaching where it really feels like you build a relationship.
Yeah.
You really care about their outcomes. Like I do believe that I care about all of my clients' outcomes. Yeah, but and I always have.
If the connection's not there because it's so mismatched.
Yeah.
Like the person coming and in, it's not the same.
They're willing to hear from you. They're really willing to listen to what you have to say and to kind of like work through some fears with you and stuff like that to actually get there. So it's like you build a better relationship and then you get better results because you know how to talk to them. They want to listen to you. They're actually going to implement it. I also found that I was kind of reflecting a little while ago that like a lot of my clients are so honest with me and they'll be like, they'll ask like, oh, if I'm going to have the munchies, like what's the best thing I should eat kind of thing. I know that I'm going to get like blazed and I'm probably going to overeat, but what can I, instead of them just doing it and then lying to me, they tell me, or they'll be like, hey, I really want to take the missus out for brunch. Is that cool? And so it's like, they'll call sometimes to ask stuff. I'm like, okay, maybe that's a little bit neurotic for one, but also like there is so much honesty there. Cause I'm just talking to the right people who like we really connect. So it's like, I'm really proud of that they'll tell me shit like that. Cause it's like, I think the worst thing would be them not feeling close enough to you to that they're scared of you and they need to lie to you to tell you what you want to hear.
Like, just showing up every week for that can be a bit tough too for a long period of time. Like it's like, we're going to do this for a while.
Mm.
So you want to have a book of people that you're like, we kind of hang out if you wanted to.
Mm.
You know, for most parts.
Yeah.
And you can have some good conversations and you obviously get fulfillment when people are moving in the right direction. And most of the time that's fostering from the relationships that you lay so that the coaching is so back and forth and transparent.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's the biggest thing is like that person that was coming in, that book of clients that you started to replace that old one with were exactly who you wanted to work with.
Yeah.
So outside to that and then obviously putting the systems in place and then having – I guess like more than just the Instagram page to
definitely
with nutritionist in the in the bio. Yeah. So
quick episode break. You guys know if you've seen anything that I create in my stories, my design skills suck. My socials still look good because we went and got help. Now you can too. STC's new web service can take your business branding and design to the next level. Ash and the team didn't just create templates for us. They dove into who we were, what we cared about, and what our message is, and helped us to design an overall brand that represents what we care about. We use their social pack every single day. They built our website, and they even helped us build out our app. All those services are now available to you. You just have to go to stcfit.com, navigate to web services, find out what it's all about, and book a free discovery call to see what is right for you.
If you could backtrack now, so let's say we're 2 years in into our third year, and you look back on the last 2 years, is there anything that you would change, or do you think that what you did was exactly what you needed to do to get you where you are right now?
I think for me personally, I had to do it the long and annoying and difficult way because if I didn't, it would be like I don't know. I just have to know. I just have to figure it out.
A little bit first,
and then get to the point where I'm like, all right, I'm ready to ask for help. Whereas I would, if someone came to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business, what should I do? I'd be like, on the first day, hire a fucking mentor. Like, yeah. Do not waste a second of your life without that. But I know that for me, I need to fuck around and find out.
I love that.
So I don't know that I could.
It's easy to tell someone else to like, yeah, go and do it. But then it's like,
it's like an ego thing or a pride thing or something. Yeah. I don't think it's.
Yeah. There's some people, look, some people have that. Some people are out there with that behavior. Like, I need to try and see if I can do this.
Yeah.
You know,
and then fail and then ask.
Well, look, as long as you have it in you to ask for help, like, I feel like, and I see it, you know, I know there's people out there where I'm like, fuck, man, you could do with a point in the right direction. It's just like your pride's too strong to get in, it gets in the way.
Yeah.
It's getting in the way of you making like really good progress. You know, so at least like, at the very least, like you went 12 months in and you're like, fuck, like this probably could have gone a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know?
And things were going quite well. I still think, like, I feel like I was pretty lucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just reached that cap where it was like, okay, you don't know what to do from here.
Yeah. And then like, I agree with that. But then I also think that if you magnify what you did with another year, I don't know if that's really that fulfilling for you.
Yeah,
because if I watched, if I look at where you were when we first met, it was like there was just so many holes. So let's say you go 1.5 times the people that you had then
with the same amount of holes.
You're just chasing your fucking tail all the time.
Yeah,
you know, and then it's like you're not making a lot of progress. People aren't that happy. Are you making as big of an impact? Are you getting as many results? Do you feel like you're making a lot of moves?
Yeah,
you know, for long term, like I sometimes wonder, like, do people need those things done so that when they do kind of scale or grow, like, the stress isn't there from, like, all the clunky shit? Like, there's always stress. Like, let's be real. Like, there's always something to, you know, kind of have a stress to stress about, but you can choose what they are.
There's better stuff to stress about than having, you can like, influence, a productive business thing. Model.
Yeah, you can influence what those stresses are to a degree. Like, there's things that aren't in your control, but there's things that are, and like your systems and your messaging and how your service is laid out and you know, I guess like that client experience. Like, they're things that are all in your control.
Yeah.
You know, and even what you're charging. And it's like those things at the start weren't great, irrespective if someone looked at it and went, oh, you got 20 clients.
Mm.
That's fantastic. I was like, yeah,
it couldn't have scaled.
That's why
at that
asked.
Point there was no scale.
Go another 6 months of that, and it's like
I was capped.
At
like my output.
And how much more of that could you do? You know,
because
even
I got
there's
pretty...
a lot of coaches, like we see like PTs, they're like, sometimes they leave because they hate it.
Yeah.
They don't just leave because it's money.
Mm.
And it's like you hate it because you're not running it the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, there's a better way to make this work for you. Like, you make your business work for you. You don't work for your business.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, people are just the other way. They've just bought themselves a job or created a job for themselves.
Yep.
And they're like, fuck, I don't know how to take myself out of this anymore.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like I'm at a stage now where the stress used to be about, like, oh, I'm working too much, too many actual hours doing shit and not making enough money from it. And now that things have, like, flipped around a little bit, it's like there's almost a guilt of, like,
I should be doing
something. Should this flow this smoothly? Like, should I need... But it's like, well, you did the hard work to set up the system so that they run themselves so that then you're there when needed and then you don't have to be there at 2 a.m., you know, like putting out fires.
Making coffees in your sleep.
Making meal plans in my sleep.
Now you just get up, pretend to type.
That's like the question that we ask in Standout as well, like, where would you be in like 3 years' time if nothing changes?
Mm.
And I think that like people don't think enough about that you wouldn't have in 3 years' time been working with 20 clients, not making enough money. You would have either left the industry and been like, there's actually no money in this job, or you would have like burnt the candle at both ends because you're still working another job 4 days a week and
just be clinically insane.
But even if you said that you'd be in the same spot, that's still unacceptable.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's 3 years on, you're doing the same thing. And it's like a lot of people look and go, oh, I could just maintain this. And it's like,
really?
Is that really what you want? Like, is that really what you're after? Like, not seeing any growth at all, any refinement in your business operations, your
There's
messaging.
No fun in that. I'd get over that
Go get a job and earn a salary somewhere else where you're not going to.
Where it's actually, it's easier.
Correct. And you don't have to do your own taxes.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Sold.
Michael saw you out with that. Give you some direction
please,
if you need.
God help.
Can give you some direction. He won't do it for you, but he can give you some direction. This man can get his taxes in order. You
wow.
can.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like yeah. that.
One time I've shared on the podcast many moons ago when I didn't have any advice. I got a bill for like, I think it was in the 20s of thousands from the ATO. And I was just like, we're going to have to put that on a
payment plan.
We're going to put that on a payment plan, bro. So I can give you a down payment, but that ain't coming anytime soon. So, yeah. So don't learn the hard way like I did.
Too late. It's not that bad.
But that's part of it too, like running the business, like people don't get. It's like, you know, sometimes you can make enough money, but it's like how you spend it. It's like the kid it's the kid going to the shops with the credit card without the list, right?
Yep.
It's the same concept. It's like if you as a business owner and an adult, we don't get taught any of that stuff at school. It's like if you run a business, a part of that money that you earn has to go to paying taxes because everybody pays taxes because they go to fucking roads and healthcare and support and all that kind of stuff. So even like things like superannuation and managing your money. You know, we don't give financial advice as per se, but we're like, this is a system you can use to manage your funds. Because if you can manage your funds making a dollar a week, you can then manage your funds making $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 a week.
Yeah.
And it's like as long as you have that same premise, then you take control.
Yeah. And those are all the things that you don't learn, like when you're studying nutrition or to be a PT. They're not like, here's how to do your taxes. No one ever tells you how to do your taxes all the way through school. I was like, someone, just tell me about taxes. You never, you really have to go out and seek that knowledge.
Yeah. So the next time we have this chat, I'm going to be like, so what was the thing you did in your third year? Like, that took control of my taxes.
That'll be it. That's honestly, that's my business goal finances. This year. Like money will be neat.
Yeah. Even so, like advice on superannuation, all that kind of stuff. Like people just have this like weird, you know, kind of understanding of that. And they're just like, there's no point. It's like.
In super.
Yeah. Like you just stuff like that. And it's like even contribution wise, they don't know how to make contributions. They don't know how that works in their
tax. Like talking about money in general. I didn't. I was absolutely. So like.
People get so. Yeah. People get so uncomfortable and like obviously. We can't give financial advice, but understanding your money story and like what Jason said, like we don't have to give financial advice for people to learn the fundamentals and the splits and the you have to pay your super for XYZ reasons.
Yeah.
You have to pay your tax for XYZ reasons. And it doesn't matter whether this is your part-time job where you earn $50 a week because you've got one client or whether it's your full-time job and you've got staff members.
Yeah.
The fundamentals are still going to be the same and it's going to be important.
Just
nonetheless,
pay your fucking tax.
Just pay your
just
fucking.
Do it.
Are you talking
to myself?
Yeah, are you talking to yourself?
Talking to you, Jess.
So look at the camera when you say it, so you can just like clip it, and then we'll send it to you.
Watch it every morning.
We'll send it to you. Yeah. So, in your opinion, or just your thoughts, where would you like to see your business go in the next 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, where would you like to see the nutrition industry go over maybe a little bit longer of a time frame, maybe like 3 years? So where do you want your business to go through first? And then where would you like to see the nutrition industry move to?
I think with my business, I would like to always have like a certain amount of like one-on-one clients that I'm working with like week by week, helping them with their stuff, athletes, gen pop, all that. I want to do a lot more workshop / group-based stuff like what me and Loz are doing with the food freedom thing.
Talked about that last episode, guys, so check it out if you haven't.
It's really fun to build. I really enjoy it. Like it's what, you know how there's certain parts in your business that you kind of like it's a little bit of a grind to get through it. Like you don't love doing it, but you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Like building stuff is my favorite. Like starting with nothing, creating something into something. I could do that just like again and again and again. So I like doing that shit. I think I'll always have a lot of passion in that. So I really want to do a lot more kind of online sort of education for different cohorts of people. Mm-hmm. Make it quite accessible. Like if it's a group thing, then it can be more affordable, all that kind of stuff. So a lot more sort of group-based education and coaching, I think. And then also hoping to work with PTs as some form of consultant for them to be able to like outsource their nutrition, because like I guess PTs, it ranges so much what their qualifications are with nutrition. Some of them really don't have much knowledge.
Most of them have none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge gap, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. And it's like, to get into a position to be able to do it, you have to probably study for minimum 12 months or something to be able to give advice. And most people are getting in. And
they've just studied for.
Correct. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I need to build my business and get clients.
Yeah.
But then they also see that nutrition is such a big part of training somebody.
Yeah.
That they feel the pressure to give the advice. And then they feel like they should just tell them what to eat and how to eat and all that stuff.
Yeah, which, and then you get real generalized kind of advice and stuff.
You get the wrong advice and then, it, look, you know, let's be real, like the biggest problem would be if something happened, like, you know, the business itself is in trouble, you know, because they're working outside the scope, they're not covered by their insurance. And, you could potentially, like, cause, you know, some harm to somebody.
Yeah.
In an industry where you're getting in there to help people, I know sometimes it's ignorance, but it's still a really big risk to do that. So having somebody to lean on until maybe that person gets certified. And like the one thing I do want to stress is like you can be a really good personal trainer and not actually have any understanding of nutrition.
Yeah.
Like your main scope of practice, like our main scope of practice is to be the best at training and motivating people to be their best and perform their best.
Yeah.
So sometimes like there's a pressure they think to be like that one-stop shop.
Yeah, and it almost like if they spend too much time trying to be the nutrition guy as well, then it's like that might end up taking away from them being a really, really good coach.
Absolutely.
It's like, if you like, that's why I like the idea of all this like collaborative coaching, because it's like you, if you're trying to be good at everything, you're going to be a little bit shitter at all of it.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you have one person who just like loves what they do, they love coaching, they're like really into all of the, I don't know, what's a coaching word, mechanics.
I love that you hinges. Don't know that stuff.
Yeah, that's a woman that stays in her scope of practice.
I love it.
Like, I don't know, exercise or whatever.
Lift some shit or something. Like.
Yeah, but it goes the other way as well. Like, you know, there's probably times when you're like, oh, maybe I should learn how to train people because I have my clients ask me about.
I have had that thought.
Yeah, exercise.
I force it to you guys.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then who knows? There may be a time when that happens, but it's like until then, it's like you just know this is the best way to serve this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't know how to look at a fucking squat and break it down. You probably think, like, what am I going to program for this person?
Yeah.
People are literally doing that the other way, the inverse way in nutrition.
And that's,
9 out of 10 times that information is pushed, I would argue it's just a bodybuilding work diet that people think is what everybody should eat, because they just go, the biggest jackedest person is obviously the most effective way to diet.
Yeah.
And you know, Jane with fucking 3 kids who just wants to lose 5 kilos,
slap a macro split at her and tell her to eat like
gets the chicken and,
oh my god,
you know,
I've seen rice and barbecue sauce diet. the meal plans that have been given to people from like bodybuilder
it must be tragic.
And it made me like genuinely upset, and it was just like, all right, this needs to change. This person needs sauce.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, did you say sauce?
They need flavor.
Let the lady use a condiment.
Needs a made sauce, not a condiment. And he makes flavor.
Ooh.
He makes some flavor sometimes.
He's got a library of
flavor.
Flavor. I've seen it.
It's good.
So you'd like to see, so in your business, you want to do more workshopping stuff, which you're about to do in, when we got like 4 days time. So, you know, hopefully you guys have grabbed your tickets. And if you see this, you'll be able to grab one because it'll be the next day. So if you still want to get tickets to the Finding Food Freedom workshop, link in bio, find your way to the ticket, enjoy the workshop with the girls. But then you also want to do the collaboration stuff with the PTs. So you want to provide a service where they can give their clients nutrition advice, and you're kind of doing all of the work and providing the resources, and then they just go, this has all been signed off by a nutritionist. I know that this is, you know, exactly what you need to have, and you know, it's all above board. You can now take advantage of this and, you know, work within your scope.
And some education for the PTs on like sort of not like a course or not a qualification for them, but like just enough education for them to use the information correctly.
Yeah. How to implement your stuff to their clients.
Yeah. Because I could just like give them a folder of meal plans and they could royally fuck that up, you know, if they didn't know anything about it. So.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
How to make the most of their scope of practice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then where do you see nutrition going as a whole in the next 3 years? Do
no,
you really
I don't
think so?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think that meal prep services will be huge in the next few years. I want to get in on that.
Yes. Yeah. I spoke to Steph about this on the weekend.
Really?
I've got a friend that's got a meal prep business, and last week she made 150 meals. She posted on her story for people.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to talk.
That's where I reckon it's going.
Steph and I had that conversation on the weekend, and obviously you're thrown in the mix there because you're the one who needs, you're the ideas person.
The flavor.
Well, you're the one with the skills, and I'm like, this is how it's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I agree. I think that food to person, but the right food is very, very important. If you even just look at the evolution of meal prep companies, like the first ones were like heavily influenced by like bodybuilding. Well, Lean Cuisine, absolutely. But then like I think the first meal prep company, one that you couldn't buy at the supermarket, like you had a subscription, it came in a box and it landed at your house. It was heavily influenced by bodybuilding culture.
Yeah.
Because it was just like meat, starch, and veg, which is basically how I eat now.
Yeah.
And have forever.
But
then, you know, all of a sudden it was like, you know, started to become things like real fucking meals.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a burrito bowl and, you know, beef stroganoff and stuff. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Like people are making these meals and like you can just put them in the microwave and eat them.
Yeah.
So I think that has to keep continue to
people are
to
only
manifest.
Gonna get busier.
Absolutely.
Because so people are just gonna rely on it more.
100%. There's people out there that don't want to drive, go to the drive through and have to make a decision on the best worst thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they want a meal that's just like, all right, I put this in the microwave. It's got some protein, it's got some veggies in it, it's got some starch in it. Like, and he's kind of given me an idea of what a meal should look like. I know I can heat this up, buy it off the shelf, or have it delivered to me, and I know I can still eat in alignment with my goals.
Yeah,
ticks all my boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Anything else that you can see?
I don't know, because it's like it's the Wild West. Like I would like to think that it's going to – I think I'm in a bubble of like seeing all the right stuff. So I'm kind of thinking like how is anyone still getting it wrong? Like how are there still people out there getting it so wrong? But like I'm in a bubble because that's who I follow and that's what I read and that's what I – you know.
That's also important I think as a business owner. It's like immerse yourself in the bubble that supports you.
Yeah.
And sometimes the, you know, the hide and unfollow button – on social media is really valuable.
Yeah.
Because it's like you don't really want to immerse yourself in like things that take you away, like your attention, your energy or whatever. You're like, oh, this is shit, or, you know, we're all fucked and like we may as well just give up. Like you want to be kind of tuning in every day, watching people win, watching people give out good stuff, like positive vibes only.
Inspired, you know, and hopeful that it's actually headed where you want.
Yeah.
It's a long, I mean, look, it's Thursday and Friday. I'm pretty salty by the end of the week.
Yeah. But, you know, you've seen like, a lot. Jason's pressed the mute button a few times.
Your man's tired, you know. But I think it is, I think that is an important message overall because it's like managing your energy and your bandwidth, right?
Yeah.
Because you have it, like, I feel when you run your own business, what gets taken out of you is more.
Yeah.
You know, it's more energy. It's not the same amount of energy for every other task.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like when people, like going to the gym, so there's no bandwidth for that for me. It's easy.
Yeah.
You know? So no one needs to applaud me for doing it.
Yeah.
But it's like, but then for someone to go to the gym, that would take a lot of bandwidth for them and a lot of energy to get there and to do the workout stuff. But when it comes to your business, I feel like it takes a lot. You know, it's like there's emotional energy, there's mental energy that's not emotional. And then sometimes there's, you know, physical and you're just like, I've done 3 hours of work and I'm fucked.
Yeah.
You know, there's weight to it too, because this is like, it's about my future. I can't just sit here and do fuck all. My boss isn't just going to pay me. Like, you know, I have to make this work.
There's so much weight to it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everything feels a lot heavier every task.
100%. So you have to decide then where you take the relief elsewhere.
Yeah.
So where do you take the bandwidth, like that, what else sucks your bandwidth away? You get to decide to a degree, and you're like, okay, well, this person, this and that all has to go on pause or mute or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you can channel your energy into the right place. Because if you don't do that, you just get fucking eaten alive.
And you're exhausted by the wrong things.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're just not going to follow people giving out shitty advice either, you know? Like,
So you're managing. I think there's a tremendous amount of value in learning how to manage your energy. I think it's probably the way I'm going with that.
Yeah, that definitely would be a good skill. I do not have that skill at this stage.
You shouldn't at 2.5 years in or whatever.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely like one of the biggest goals is because it's like my the business is all right. Things are good. Things can be growing and stuff, but it's like, but you're still stressing about certain things that are like running themselves anyway. So it's like, yeah, learning to switch that off, spend the energy somewhere else. That's definitely.
You'll learn to trust the systems over time.
I'll try and teach you. All right. Tam, how long we got? All right, so that's good. I've got a couple of questions and then we can wrap this up.
I won't ramble.
No, you can.
Fire.
What are three pieces of advice that you could give somebody who is wanting to start a business or is in their first 1 to 2 years and feels like they're not really kind of getting anywhere?
Get a mentor.
Yeah.
Like a business mentor or at the very least. At the very least, hire someone who's better than you at what you're doing.
Yep.
Even if you're a nutritionist, like hire another nutritionist to look after your nutrition.
Yeah.
PTs, same thing. Third piece of advice, I don't know, just like enjoy it a little bit. Like enjoy the process. Like it's fun. You learn so much about yourself. So like you'll spend a lot of time stressing that you're not doing enough, you're not doing it well enough, but it's like you probably haven't like developed as a person that much since like you hit puberty, like getting this chance, you know what I mean? To like do that much self-growth and development in like a short period of time. Like it's quite a unique experience. So I think just enjoy that for what it is, but also lean on other people and don't be so fucking proud. Like just
absolutely.
Ask for help.
Do you think having like, how do I word this? Do you think knowing what your motivations are to do the job, like to make the career, do you think having those motivations is important to know to know what they are?
Super important, because otherwise you get so caught up in like the mundane tasks, the ones that don't feel so good, and you think like, oh fuck, do I really like I want to do this kind of thing? And then the second that you can remember a good outcome for a client or something like that, which leans into the right messaging and talking to the right people so that you are getting the right clients that you are getting the outcomes for.
Yeah.
But yeah, reminding yourself of like why you want to do it. And also the more like selfish reasons too, like what do you want your life to look like? Absolutely. What do you want your work?
That's not selfish. That's,
yeah, not selfish. Yeah. Yeah. But like just what, you know, what everyone's working for. I never used to do like visualization or anything like that, or even like goal setting. I didn't do that. But now it's like just being more clear on like, oh, you can decide what you want your life to look like. So reminding yourself of that is really cool to get through those little kind of tricky spots.
Yeah. I think there's so much to that because there's a lot of grunt work that gets done. Like we don't want to sit here and be like, oh, you'll just hire a mentor and then like it'll be all sunshine and rainbows. They're just going to tell you like this is how you apply yourself.
Yeah, you'll just waste less time. Like if you hire a mentor, you'll just probably waste 2 or 3 less years.
Correct. But the grunt work's still there. It's just
It's more. I remember when I first started, I was like, there's so much to do now. But it's because it's like you're doing all the right things and it actually pay off.
It's in the right spot. So yeah, exactly. It's like it's not just highly likely going to pay pay dividends in the future.
Exactly.
But it's like if you don't have a really good understanding of what's like why you're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
That grunt work doesn't get done.
Exactly. You
know? Or it doesn't get done to the degree that it should.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, it's easier to go and do something else, or it's easier to just have 15 clients and like I'll go and continue doing like my second job and, you know, I'll just never kind of make this an actual thing that it could be.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's not worth it to you. You never like, you haven't sat down and gone, what are the benefits to this? What could my life look like? What do I want my life to look like?
That, yeah, massive question.
You know, which is a scary question to ask, and I get it. People are like, well, what if I fail? It's like, who cares? Like you'll know what to do next to get you there, or you'll know you walked down that path and you didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's the same question of like, what happens in 3 years? And if you say the same thing, setting no goals puts you in that position.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's terrifying to be looking your past and going, I'm still in the same spot.
Mm.
And yeah, having a really kind of honest conversation with yourself about why you're doing things and where you want things to go, I think is just like the only thing that's going to take you through the grunt work. To get on the other side and
go. It has to be so honest as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like I think as well, like you look at what other people in your industry might be like striving for and think that that's what you need to strive for as well. I'm like, mine looks pretty different to that, but like it's equally as much of a driving factor. But
yeah, I get it.
You just have to be honest about what yours is.
I love that. There you go. We did 2 podcasts.
Was that the last question? We did it.
Yeah, we did over 2.5 hours of recording and you made
it. Who knew that the three of us could talk a lot of shit?
We just love some yip yapping.
Look, to be fair, I had no reservations that this wasn't going to, you know, get to the to the allocated times. So you've done a great job. So if you are a personal trainer and you may be just, you know, kind of interested in, you know, touching base, just getting a bit of a feel at the moment about what you do and could you help their clients, how could you do that?
That's actually a great question because I'm sort of in the building stage of it.
Yep.
Would actually enjoy conversations with PTs about what they would find helpful for themselves and their Absolutely. Clients at this stage to kind of form the product or service into what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're a PT and you are interested about it, you can jump in the DMs and Reach have out. A chat and just let us know what you struggle with.
How can they find you?
AnnieMac_performance-nutrition at Instagram.com.
On Instagram.
STCFit.com/nutrition.
Yep. Also. All right, guys. That was fun. You know, as always, your opportunity right now to hit the subscribe button. So do so. Like, share, and comment. Give us some feedback. Get in touch with Annie if you are a coach and you do want to work with her to help manage your nutrition clients. And as always, we'll see you next time.